You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Right now we've got Callum Mower, also known to the common folk as Cerebi, right? I'm getting it right?
You got it right.
Okay, Cerebi, awesome, fantastic. So Callum, you're on the line with us, coming to us live from Auckland. How are things up there?
Yeah, good. Yeah, it's good. The sun's out. The sun's out today. Mm-hmm. My day's starting.
Your day started technically at 3 in the morning because you went to the airport, which is quite miraculous. Do you think you're going to have a lot of frolicking in the sun, or is today going to be just a chill day? Because it sounds like you're pretty tired.
I snuck in a little power nap in between coming home and this interview, so I'm feeling all right.
Oh, yeah. I imagine there's a lot of press today for this album.
Yeah, there's a little bit going on. I think we've done a bunch of the work, so it can be pretty relaxed today.
That's good. You seem like you can plan things out very well, because last time I talked to you, you just released Might As Well Be Watching, and you'd pretty much completed the album. You were just waiting to release it. You went on a couple of months of travel to, I think, was Japan and Germany? Was that right?
That's right, yeah.
How was travel?
Oh, it was great. I love Japan. I've been to Germany before, and obviously going a second time was, you know, I went in a little deeper and got to know the culture a little more and traveled more through Germany. But Japan was, it was exceedingly good.
Uh-huh.
I love Japan.
Favorite aspect of it? You like the food, shopping, the sights, the smells?
Yeah, the food's incredible. I'm a sucker for ramen, and yeah, I quite liked. I guess the Shinjuku train station is an experience. It is.
It's like super old, or just super like well decorated, or something.
It's just so busy. There's a million people there every time you're there.
Oh, and whoa!
Yeah, busiest train station in the world. It's. Yeah, coming from Auckland and Wellington, it's something to see.
I imagine. I think that's on my list of travel. You know, my travel bucket list. I really want to go to Japan at some point. I've heard nothing but great things.
Get there.
In kind of the crafting of this album, you had kind of a regimen of just, you know, going in, writing, and getting this album done. And outside of that, you were listening to a lot of Otis Harding, you were listening to your own stuff, you were also doing some yoga. And I want to know, what kind of yoga did you do that you think might have helped with the album, or helped you chill out while you're making the album?
Yeah, I was just doing I think it was like a 30-day YouTube yoga thing with a teacher called Adrian, who usually has her dog lying on a mat.
I've heard of her.
Yeah, Yoga with Adrian. She's great. That was kind of my introduction to yoga. Because I was getting a pretty sore spine from sitting down all day. So I just needed something like that. So I got myself a good office chair for the lower back. And I started doing yoga with Adrian.
Nice.
Yeah.
I hear there's a really, really good yoga studio in Grey Lynn called Sala. People have talked about, so maybe that could be worth investigating if you're wanting to be get in the weeds, I guess, so to speak. But that's the awesome that helped your spine. To get the most out of this thing, I reckon, for all you listening, please, you know, use headphones, because there's so much texture to these songs. When you're making this and you're adding all those texture and you're making all these real fine tuned sounds, do you think much about how people will consume your music, like how they'll consume your music? Do you think of that while you're making it?
Not while I'm writing, but while I'm mixing and doing little bits of production, I do consider people. I guess I want it to be digestible and formulaic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you think you kind of tune it best for headphones?
I love listening to music on headphones, so I suppose maybe I'm biased, but and I also don't have really the capacity. Well, I don't have the room to have monitors and a treated room down pat, so it makes more sense to have spend time in headphones for that kind of treatment.
Mm-hmm.
So I naturally spend more time in headphones, and but the tracks probably sound better in headphones, to be honest.
I reckon, yeah. Tessa Dillon, aka Tessa De Leon, who came out with a really awesome album last year, is on the opener on this album, and they're doing an awesome job vocally and on piano. Was this the first time that you've worked with them?
Yeah, we'd worked together on a remix for Tessa and Arjuna Oaks. We're doing a remix for my first album, Inside. We did a series of remixes and then didn't release them. And so I wanted to work with Tessa again because I love Tessa's music and songwriting. So we had another stab and made this sort of quite fast country song, and then I couldn't stand what I'd done in it, and so I took her vocals out and sort of reworked it over this version that's in the album.
Nice. It sounds gorgeous. I mean, I don't know how you make this stuff, but you got a ridiculous talent. I know that you were a bit worried about, you know, trying your hand at singing on this album, but were you concerned about lyric writing as well? Was that another major concern?
Definitely, yeah. I do. I do find it hard to sit down and write something that makes any sense. But more so, it was coming from like a performance side. I think the writing I did enjoy and kind of was being loose and colorful with the writing.
It's a good foray into lyric writing, I reckon. And there's some really, really fun words here on the track, The Randan, which consists of this very proletarian, kind of gross, turgid, self-deprecating spoken word passage from a deeply 90s Kiwi accent, which turns out to be your granddad. And what I gleaned is that this track is kind of pinpointing the underlying themes of this record, which to me was, you know, how do you transcend kind of a lack of confidence about a certain thing? And I think for your granddad it seemed like it was socializing, and for you it might have been singing. And am I kind of on the money there?
I think you know more about the album than me. At least it makes more sense to you. That's really reassuring. That's great to hear. A revelation.
Did you record that yourself, or was that some kind of, I mean, was your granddad a kind of like a poet?
He's written a series of short stories, which eventually kind of compiled, and he's got like his life book, which he's printed copies of. But we just plucked a couple things and jumped on a phone call, and I put him on speakerphone with my microphone there and recorded him into a DAW and just played some silly little synths and then mixed it all down.
Yeah. Well, it's a really awesome inclusion. I think it's just so out of the blue and you know, keeps you on your toes, really. It's awesome.
That's great to hear.
Feet for Pigs is, you know, features this very simple kind of guitar line with slight glistening keys and kind of a gentle percussive element. To me, I think it pairs pretty well with some Edie Chacone and maybe some of Media Thief's kind of lighter stuff. What would you pair, you know, this album with if someone albums back to back, this being the first?
Pair it with, I suppose I was listening to Parallelograms by Linda Perhax. That record, somewhere between that record and some hybrid of Adrian Lenker and maybe Designer by Aldous Harding.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to those three.
Designer, man.
I was listening to those three a lot for songwriting purposes. I admire them all. And some combination of those three, perhaps. Mm-hmm. It's a little vague, but
a little hybrid.
Yeah, like some amalgamation of those, because I suppose I was listening to them all here and there.
Nice. And there's so many different instruments and elements bringing this sound to life. I remember we chatted with this about this with Might As Well Be Watching. And, you know, you got guitar to violin to keys to piano to tambourine to some instruments I can't even name. You know, what was the studio setup like for making these things? Did you do it one on one with all the musicians for all the songs, or were there some times where you had everyone playing at the same time for recording this?
It was song by song. The collaborators came in on separate occasions, and we kind of like focused on getting the bulk of each song done on different days and stuff like that. There wasn't too much of an overlap. Mm. What was the question more about?
What was the studio setup? Did you have people cut like 6 or 7 people coming in at a time to record a track together? Like, that seems like it would have been hectic.
Oh no! It's just I just recorded all the drums and bass and stuff.
Oh, true.
Yeah. True. Yeah, it was kind of like a one man band thing with, and then adding like little bits of percussion on top of my really simple drum loops. I had a drum kit in the studio, and so I'm no session drummer, but I can get nice sounds, and so I kind of, yeah, low pressure, low stakes, just get some really nice drum loops and patterns. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it wasn't recorded live with a band. It's more like kind of like some glorified demos that I've made on my own, and then people have come in and put sprinkles on top.
Do you think that is kind of reflective of the state, you know, the kind of state of the times, where because of the nature of the economy, we can't afford to have session musicians, and we're all kind of having to, you know, rent certain artistic stuff software to create things rather than employ, you know, people who do this professionally?
100%. That's the case for most people, I'd say. But
oh, for sure.
For me, actually, it's not. I have really quite bad carpal tunnel, and so I spent maybe 7 or 8 years focusing on mixing and production opposed to playing live. And so I've just naturally I spend time in kind of isolation on my own doing that for those reasons. It's kind of circumstantial, but yeah,
because I think, I don't know if you've listened to, did you listen to the Geordie Greet album that came out last year?
No,
so he's the guy from Black Midi, if you're familiar with Black Midi.
No, I don't listen to nearly enough music.
Right.
It's educational, especially for someone who's making music. But I, I'm not in a massive listening phase, but I will be soon. Mm.
Well, if you want to hear some cool big band stuff with like session musicians, I highly recommend that album. It's quite weird, but it's also a lot of fun. You are touring the country, but no Dunedin. No Dunedin in sight, which is very unfortunate. Will we be making an appearance down here or in Christchurch sometime in 2025?
I hope so. Yeah, I don't see why not. It would have been a nice move to tack on, like, do a South Island tour, go down to Christchurch and then Dunedin and fly back up, rather than just doing Nelson on the South Island.
Yeah.
Especially to make the most of it.
Nelson is a really good place to listen to your music, I reckon, because it's just super warm, very beautiful place, very idealistic. But also Queenstown, I reckon, if you're looking for another South Island date, people seem to be tacking Queenstown onto things, so that could be another go. Or Wanaka as well.
Yeah, I've seen Queenstown come up.
Could be a go.
A few times.
But, you know, now that you're done with this, are you going to chill on making songs for a bit? Are you just going to relax?
Yeah, I haven't been writing, making songs in close to a year since this album was done.
True.
So maybe I'd be coming out of that soon, I don't know, but I've been enjoying playing sport and doing other things for once. I spent a good chunk from 2020 basically to 2025 just trying to make EPs and albums, and I've been enjoying kind of finding joy in other things, and then I'd like to go and do some more travel and like we said before, soak up some new music, listen to a bunch of music, and come back to the drawing board.
Get re-inspired, you know, just take things at your own pace.
Yeah, I think I've maxed out for now.
Mm-hmm. Can I guess what sport you're playing?
Yeah, go for it.
Oh, man, what kind of sport? Tennis.
No, I'm... I've played a little bit of tennis, but I'm mostly football.
Football.
Soccer.
All right, right. Yeah.
Yeah. I actually I've been 3 weeks ago I was in the hospital because I dislocated and fractured my kneecap.
Oh Jesus Christ.
Two guys slide tackled me from either side of my leg and just absolutely screwed my leg. So I've been I was on crutches for a couple of weeks. Now I'm waddling around the house. So I won't be playing sport for a while.
No, very fair. And that's very brave of you to drive with a messed up knee. So, you know,
I can drive and walk around the house now. So I'm getting better.
A little bit mobile. Anyway, I think that's the time we have for our chat this morning. Thank you very much for coming on the program. It's a pleasure as always. And best of luck with the recovery. Maybe find some new people to play with.
Yeah, thank you, Zach. It's been a pleasure.
Of course, of course. Take care, man. Take care. All right, folks. That was Callum Moa, a.k.a. Cerebi. We're chatting about the new record, Dime, which is out now. You can listen to it everywhere you get your tunes. We're going to play the last track on the album, Assembly, and then after a couple more tracks, we'll have our last chats on. We've got Jess Schumach and Sam Allred coming through to talk about the 2025 capping show. Very exciting. Here's Cerebi with Assembly Kakit.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.